Welcome to the Water Podcast. Water is a family of libraries for testing web applications. You can find more about it at water.com. This is episode 57, recorded on August 26, 2016. My name is David McNulla, and I'm a software tester in Southern California. Today, I'm talking with Jelko Filipin, and he is a tester in Zagreb, Croatia. Did I say that right?
Yes, pretty good.
So how have you been doing?
Busy.
For those don't know, Jelko was the podcast host for years, and I really liked listening to him.
Thanks. It was a lot of fun.
It was. So today, the reason I'm calling is because I wanted to ask Jelko. I understand that he is working at Wikimedia, doing setting up the automated tests. He's in charge of the frameworks for the automated tests at Wikimedia. And right now, they're supporting two code bases. One of them is using Ruby and Water, and the other is using JS and Selenium.
Where should I start? with Wikimedia, Ruby, JavaScript.
So tell us how you guys are using Ruby and Water for testing Wikimedia.
So I started working for Wikimedia Foundation about 4 years ago. I think it'll be four in a month or so. I worked for like a couple of years with Chris McMahon. Some people might know him from Water community. Then he left. And I'm one of two people currently working on developing the framework. So both Ruby and JavaScript. We are using Ruby and Selenium and Water for the last 4 years, and just this year we started experimenting with JavaScript. So we are not like we have one project that is using JavaScript, like on Node.js and Selenium, but it's in early development yet. So the question was Ruby, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So when I started working here, I was a freelancer and I had some like experience freelancing and setting up browser testing for different clients. And I pretty much used the same setup that I liked and used for years when I started here. So we use pretty much the like one of the recent versions of Ruby in our continuous integration and in development. I think we currently are at Ruby 2.1 in our CI. We use also pretty much the latest versions of Water and Selenium. We use PageObject, RubyGem for PageObject implementation. Does that answer the question? Do you want more details about parts of the stack?
Yeah, actually, I was wondering, are you guys trying Water 6 beta?
No, not yet. Well, it's like it's the story is complicated. we had some adoption. So my team provides tools, but we are not embedded into feature teams. So we have like I'm in a service team that provides the service of developing tools and then helping teams use them. Sorry, what was the question?
Oh, were you trying the beta?
Oh yeah, sorry, it's late here. My brain is shutting down. So no, because our current Ruby stack is pretty much done and working. And we yeah, so in short, no. I mean, there's no particular reason, but we are not actively developing the Ruby framework anymore. It's mostly in maintenance mode. So as far as I think, like, it wouldn't be a big deal to try the new beta code base, but is there anything there that would make it compelling for us to use it? Like, what's in the new six?
It's got the Gecko driver support for Firefox 48.
Oh, in that case, yes, I will be working on that next week because this is something that we had problems with like a month or two ago when Firefox 47 shipped, and then like everything broke, and there was 4701 that kind of worked and this and that. So I went on a vacation after we got everything downgraded to Firefox 46. So I'm European, so we take long vacations in the summer. So when I came back, like I'm just catching up and finishing stuff. So yes, we will be working on that. I will be working on that next week.
Okay. All right. So I guess that leads into the other part of the question I wanted to ask you. In you're supporting also the JavaScript framework, and for the web driver for that, you're using Selenium 2?
Yes. As far as like my JavaScript Selenium knowledge goes, yes. I mean, we are using WebDriver, if that was the question.
Yes.
We are not even touching RC or whatever like Selenium one things are out there.
So, what's one of the toughest things about supporting two branches? Is it easier because one of them's so stable?
Well, I mean, it's a long story, right? So Wikimedia ecosystem is doesn't have a lot of Ruby. It actually has pretty little Ruby. So I was hired so the decision to use Ruby for browser testing was made before I was hired. So I was hired because they wanted somebody with Ruby experience and Selenium and all that. And it we had some teams adopting it like widely, some teams adopting it somehow, and some teams just not liking Ruby at all. So after a few years, we asked some people, and I'm just just this summer we ran a survey with our like internal users about which languages and frameworks and tools they like, and I'm just today I was finishing the survey report that will be out next week, and the survey confirmed what we knew from informal conversation is that people would like to write Selenium tests in anything in something else but Ruby. We have a lot of PHP and JavaScript developers, some Python. So we decided to pick JavaScript and in this case Node.js. I think the question was, is it easy to is it hard to develop both? I mean, so like in short, yes, because it's just two of us working, and one of us is the other guy is working half time or so. So it's we don't have a lot of people working on it. But Ruby is pretty stable. There's just fixes like this, like Gecko driver messing up. So we just fix stuff. There isn't a lot of new development there. So we decided to spend some time investigating, like how could we have a similar set up in Node and JavaScript as we have in Ruby now. So we also noticed some things that we did good in Ruby stack and some things that we shouldn't do in JavaScript that we did in Ruby. We had a prototype, but that was working fine. Some just this week we had a team meeting where we decided we'll stop further development at the moment because we have other priorities for this next quarter. So probably starting next year, next calendar year, we'll see like if we'll continue developing JavaScript or not. It's hard to tell now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There will be some experimentation going on still, but not a lot of development, I think.
Okay. All right, yeah. So now that you've decided that you're going to jump on the Water 6 beta bandwagon to try that out, what are the some of the things that you're hoping for?
I'm aware that Water 6 and Selenium 3 are just about to be released. I'm lurking on mailing lists and following blogs and stuff. But I'm not, I wasn't really aware what the features are, except that Selenium 3 will drop support for like Selenium 1, Selenium RC, whatever the name of that is. And Water 6 will be using Selenium 3, right? So that's mostly it. There's not much features except for this Firefox Gecko driver support, right? Is there anything that I'm missing?
No, I think that's it. I think that's it, and it's going to be a signed plugin so that it's usable with the Firefox 48.
Yeah, because Firefox 48 doesn't like unsigned plugins and or add-ons, whatever that is.
Oh, it still likes them. It just won't use them.
Yeah. I mean, it does make sense. We use browsers for more stuff these days than ever. So security is important there.
I'll say. Okay, well, I appreciate the conversation about this. Is there anything you wanted to throw a plug in for or talk about? I've got you on. I see that sometimes you run meetups or participate in meetups in Europe. You want to talk about those at all?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I like going to peer conferences and to local meetups. I live in Zagreb, Croatia. I've started going to less of them than I used to, and I used to speak at a lot of local meetups and conferences. But I also decided to decrease. No, I'm not sure if that's there. Well, do less of that. Mm-hmm. Because I had some other things I wanted to do, like start running again and sleeping more. There's a couple of events that I'm looking forward to in the next few months. So one of them is called Testival. It's a peer conference, open space conference here in Croatia. It's in at the seaside in Rijeka, so I can send a link. It's in a month or so. So if people are around, I'll be there. So feel free to join us. It's like in the usual open space style. It's free to attend. My one man company is even a sponsor. That's how much I like the conference. I pay for it so other people can be there for free. And the other one is Tesla Automation Bazaar in Austin, Texas. That'll be, I don't think it's announced yet, but it'll probably be in January in Austin, Texas. So, and I'll be in San Francisco, where Wikimedia Foundation has offices at the time. So I'll try, if at all possible, I'll try to go to Austin while I'm still like on the correct side of the ocean. And I don't think I would have to check my calendar. I wasn't expecting this, but from the top of my head, these are the two that I would recommend people go to if they're nearby. And also, like if you go to Google KitCon, it's Continuous Integration Testing Conference. They organize three conferences a year at three different continents. So I've been to a few of those, so, and I do highly recommend them. Also, Open Space Peer Conference, but I'm not sure what their schedule is. There's nothing nearby, so I've ignored it for now.
Okay. Yeah. I'd have to agree. I've been to some of those open conferences, and I think the smaller open conferences are much, much better.
We have 50 to 150 people. I think it's the optimal number where you can meet people, talk with them. I've been to big conferences, and they tend to be too corporate. Like there's little time for networking. And I think I was like, if I'm not sure how much time we have. I was thinking a lot about conferences lately because I've been to a lot of them. I've spoke at some of them. I organized a few, and I think they're very valuable for personal development and like enhancing your career. But I'm not sure. Like some types of conferences are not worth your time and money. So going to like a traditional conference, I don't think actually pays off. I think you could spend the time and money, and I'm technically still a freelancer, so time is money for me. Like you can spend the time and or money more wisely. There's a ton of good and free or cheap or affordable resources from books to video videos to audio to code samples that you can learn new things from. I mean, a lot of conferences will record their talks, so you don't even have to go there. You can just sit and watch or listen to the talks. And the most valuable thing you can get at a conference is a network, right? So like you would talk with people that are in similar position that you are, or that they were in your position recently, and they can share some tips and experience with you. So an open space like KitCon-like conferences like Test Innovation Bazaar and this festival that have and KitCon of course that I've recommended are those conferences that I prefer, where you can meet people, you can there are presentations, but they're mostly dialogues, not just monologues. So what I would also recommend, like if people are around, so here in Zagreb we have a branch of Software Testing Club. So if you Google Zagreb Software Testing Club, you'll find us, or any of those local meetups in Austin. There's Homebrew Testers, and I'm pretty sure other cities have something similar. So also something highly recommended.
We'll put links to all these in the episode show notes. Yeah, I like watching the GTAC on the internet. So I've never been to it, but I've seen it plenty of times, many good presentations.
Yeah, I've noticed that I rarely have the time or the will to sit down and go through like a conference that sounds really interesting and then watch the talks. Like for example, Selenium conference is something that I want to go every year, but I've been maybe once or twice. I'm thinking now twice. I'm not sure, once or twice. But then never watched the talks. And I'm not sure why, because I think it would be useful. But then I go to conferences, I would drive or fly somewhere and be at a conference. And I think sometimes I get maybe 10 or 20% of what, like the knowledge that I would get just sitting down and watching a good conference. And I was thinking a lot, like, how should I better spend my time and be way more picky about which conferences to go to, and maybe like pick a one Saturday of a month or maybe one in 2 months and just sit down for like a full work day, like 8 hours or something, and just watch various videos or try a new tool or something like that. But I'm not sure how, like, I managed to secure a few weekends a year to go to a conference, but I never do the same to do something at home. Like when I'm at home, then I usually work or like I don't know, do something on my personal projects. I mean, or just spend time with my family, of course. I'm not sure why. Why is that? Because I think my time could be better spent on watching an online conference than going to one, and then maybe later on just joining like a tech meetup and just like hanging out with people.
Yeah. So when I watch them online, obviously I don't get the personal interaction. I don't get to ask my own questions and get those solved. But I usually will just open a small window to the side and I'll just have it running while I'm working or doing something else. So, and then if there's something especially interesting, I'll re-listen to it or draw my attention more closely to it.
Oh, I can't do that at all. I've heard people listening to books or watching something while working. I can barely listen to music when I'm working. I mean, when I'm reading email or doing something like where half of my brain is enough, then I can listen to music. But when I'm doing something serious, I either have to be in silence or watch or listen to one of those special like no lyrics channels where just some like unobtrusive music, so
Smooth
I
jazz.
something I can't, yeah, my brain doesn't multitask at all.
Well, good. I appreciate the time. I don't want to keep you up too late because I know you've
Thanks.
got to run in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm also trying to keep the podcast shorter and more frequent
Yeah.
because I think people will like that better.
Agreed. I'm really glad that you restarted the podcast. Feel free to cut out half my ramblings, make it short and interesting.
Thank you. And it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, nice to see you. Are you coming to Austin? Do you know?
I'm probably going to try.
This open space type conferences are a best buy, right? Because they're either cheap or free. Or, I mean, at least affordable. And I mean, it's like if you're on a budget, like I'm pretty sure even like having like figuring out like free or cheap lodging there would be doable with because there's a community of people. Like I always ask Brett if I can stay at his house, right? So, and I've stayed at Marek's house and somebody else also offered me to stay, but at the end, like we figure out a hotel. So, there, I mean,
The last time
being.
I went there on frequent flyer miles, and then I stayed at a hotel on credit card points.
Yeah, so.
So I only paid for the conference and my food. And
Yeah, and
food I buy
conferences.
anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, and Bazaar has, I think, like free food and also free entrance. So I mean, depending, like also like depending on my finances, I try like I go either like from the budget option to being a sponsor option, right? So I've been to various conferences for completely free, or like in this time, like sponsoring. No, I mean, not much. It's like maybe like a few $100 sponsorship, because it's really, really small, a small conference. But still, like, depending on like on your financial situation, you can like help somebody get to a conference, right, by sponsoring, or like paying like the biggest price, or like sometimes you just don't have the money and then you go for free options, right? But yeah, anyway, I think those types of conferences are like the best buy, like the best content for like really, really affordable price.
And you get real information, not like not like the Star West, the Star East and Star Europe stuff where
It's there's
everything's totally it's written like a commercial.
yeah I mean, they either have a ton of like it's like a sales pitch, right? Or it's an introduction to a tool, and there's plenty of those that you can just see online. Whereas like it's rarely there's not much point in going to a conference to just see a talk, right? And unless you'll have a discussion about it, right? And yeah, well, it's a big topic. We can talk about it some other time.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. All right.
Thank you.
And it's good to see you.
Yeah,
And
you too.
take care and take care of your family. All right.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
Bye. My site is dmcnulla.wordpress.com and my Twitter account is at dmcnulla. My guest site is philippin.eu and his Twitter account is at jelkophilippin. Thank you for listening to the Water Podcast. You can leave a comment at soundcloud.com/waterpodcast. You can donate to the Water Project at water.com. This podcast is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. All links will be in the episode show notes. Music for the Water Podcast is by Lee Rosevear, entitled Puzzle Pieces, released February 2016 under the label Happy Puppy Records.